Im Kino zu Hause, der DocFest München Podcast. Filmgespräche des Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestivals München.
Herzlich willkommen zum 38. Internationalen Dokumentarfilmfestival hier in München. Also a warm welcome to all our viewers and listeners out there in the digital space. And also a very warm welcome to Jean-Marie Tenot, who you can see on the screen here now. You are in Casablanca at the airport. Welcome in Munich in the Silbersaal Doc Studio.
Thank you, it's my pleasure. It's a very unusual way to place to be doing a Q&A, but you can still do it, and that's great. So
there's a very good connection, and we are happy. We can hear you, we can see you, so all is perfect. Yeah, so there are about 50 people here in the room, and we watched all your film. Thank you for allowing us to screen it again at DocFest. You have been a guest of DocFest 11 years ago or more, I think. And we just talked about it. It was last year your 30th anniversary of Africa, I Will Fleece You. And I think it's a very insightful film, a very challenging film. So maybe in the beginning you can tell us, how did you start this kind of filmmaking? I mean, you have this eye narration, this personal voice over through all your films. So this is a very unique Jean-Marie Tenot way of making documentary. So how did you come up with this idea, or that did it just came to you?
It took me almost 7 years to be able to say I. Because actually when I made my first short film, Homage, I was trying to bring something particular to cinema. I wanted to talk about things around me, but I just didn't want to use the same method like the voice of God that was existing in many documentaries and the newsreel, where you had someone who will be speaking and no one knows who the person is, where the person is speaking from. So my first short film, Homage, I said to myself, I'm going to create a kind of fictional conversation between two friends, and they'll be talking about everyday life, and their two points of views are going to be conflicting. But it was a conversation that lasted 13 minutes. But at the end, you realize that the two people are just the same in the piece, the same part of the same one, actually. It was my split personality, the one that who left and who went to Europe, and the one who stayed home. And it was an autobiographical film that I didn't really know how to approach because I didn't have models at that time. And for Affliction de Plumeray, it was a conscious and very deliberate thing that I decided to have the people look into the camera to speak first person. But I was not the one behind the camera because at that time we were shooting 16 millimeter and I needed a cinematographer who could walk with the camera on the shoulder for all a long distance. But all the narration, everything was planned from the beginning because I really wanted people to see things from the perspective of an African filmmaker, an African person, and see what we are going through. And also, it was playful. Cinema for me was being playful and being enjoying myself. But can you be playful with such heavy and important subjects?
Yeah.
I tried.
Yeah. And on top of that, I think humor is also very important for you. And you mix and you bring your humor and also sarcastic humor into the game. And why is it so important for you?
Well, when the situation is really so harsh and so difficult and seems almost inextricable, the only thing that you can do is laugh about it. Otherwise, well, what else can you do? Especially when the coloniality has mixed all the things so much that whenever you pull a string, you still realize how deep and how it is. So how do you go about that, if not full humor and full laughter and taking a certain distance to be as critical as possible, hoping that people will continue to question and to challenge. That's why humor is important.
Mm.
Not to be lecturing to people, but to be giving a kind of mix between entertainment and well, not education, but entertainment and raising the right questions.
Yeah, having it more lightly, but being still political and being decisive. And yeah, I think I read somewhere that you set out actually to do kind of a different film. Is that true? You wanted to do a film about literature and culture in Cameroon, and then politics came into the game and the protests took place. So that changed the whole project, kind of.
Yes, because when I start the project, I don't have a fixed line. Things that come, that happen, are just nourishing the project. So when I started, it was the moment in 89 when there are protests everywhere, the change in the big map of the geopolitical world, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and all these declarations, all these discourses. And in Cameroon, they started what they called the Dead City. And Dead City was a kind of protest. And people were protesting because they wanted a national conference to organize their lives so that the life can be better.
Mm-hmm.
But the only answer they were met with was violence. So facing this violence, I started asking myself questions. Why is it only by violence the only way to deal with issues when it comes to Africa? And so I went back in history and I realized that this violence has always been there.
Mm.
And actually that became the spread of the whole story. If you have only, you can only be met with violence, it's just because people don't want anything to change. So we just need to be there sitting, suffering and clapping to those who are living better and accompanying them. So I started trying to see how to subvert this kind of paradigm that was forced on us.
So now your film has also became history, and what maybe you can tell us what changed in that 30 years? Is there a situation? Did it get better? Did people become aware of their history? Did they approach to change something, or is it still the same?
I'm afraid things have even gotten worse, especially in Cameroon. And when people are just not wanting to challenge an unjust system, thinking that it might change, maybe some individual lives are going to change. But for the vast majority of people, things are getting really bad and terrible. And actually, yesterday or 2 days ago, there was a a huge storm in Yaoundé. And I was part of a workshop called Impala, where we're training young filmmakers. And one of the subjects were the situation of the people who are the migrants from a neighboring country. And they were living in terrible conditions in Yaoundé and in many towns in the area. And because of this rain, in some neighborhoods, you know, people cannot are trapped in their houses because the water is everywhere and they cannot even come out of the houses. And in that house that was almost non-existent, there was a short circuit, and a woman who was in her 60s or 70s was living there with her granddaughter, only with her granddaughter, living under the conditions that was really incredibly bad. They just perished in the fire because they couldn't get out. They could drown if they went out because the whole place was full of water. And so it's such a terrible situation, such a shocking situation to have that happening today in Yaoundé. And we have this short film where you see this grandmother and her granddaughter living there under incredible circumstances. Mm. And so this is still happening today. So for making Afrique Entrepreneuriat, I made a film on the situation of water in Cameroon, in Yaoundé. The situation was bad at that time, but now it's even terrible in many
even
places.
Worse. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So things are not getting better, and things will only start getting better when we're going to associate freedom, liberty, democracy, and people having the capacity to express themselves without being sent to jail or without being brutalized. Things are only going to start changing really at that moment, and when people are going to elect people to represent them and not have these rigged elections, and people really don't care about them.
Absolutely, yeah. So maybe are there already some questions in the audience? Let's see if there are some. Someone wants to ask something? Not yet. So I'll just continue. Well, there's a question. Kannst beides, also wie du magst. Hier ist ein, warte, ganz kurz. We have a mic there. Ich kann auch übersetzen.
Hallo?
Ja.
Hello. How's the actual situation with movies and newspapers from African or Cameroon people, or is it influenced by the US movies or US series like in Germany or in South Africa?
Yes, the influence of series is present almost everywhere in the continent, and mostly I think people are influenced by the Brazilian, many telenovelas, they are trying to reproduce them. Some people are attempting to do some action kind of movies, but the quality is, well, it's okay, they're trying their best, and there is this desire to make the kind of films that they consider to be for the international market, who are really a kind of copy of what you see almost everywhere. And I hope that the copies that they're trying to make are going to be to meet the standards of others, because others, the kind of means that they have to make these films, we will never have this kind of means home to make the films. So it's, people always are dreaming of having a cinema that has some wood or some Hollywood or some Nollywood or some wood in it. But I believe that the future is going to be when we develop our own kind of narratives, telling the stories, not trying to emulate other people, but really telling the stories that matter to us.
Mm.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we had a panel here a few days ago together with filmmakers from the continent, with Cyril Rengou, with Mohamed Umar, and Mandisa Sita, also from Cape Town. And they were saying, actually, also Farid Bougedir, all filmmakers, filmmaker from Tunisia, and they were saying that there are these films by African filmmakers, there are the narratives and their perspectives, but they are not getting to the audiences on the African continent in the respective countries. So it's a big problem of distribution and getting the films to the audience there. So, I mean, are your films watched in Cameroon? Do you have a connection to your audience, or what is your experience in that?
Well, connecting with the audiences has always been the biggest challenge that we have faced. And there are some people who are attempting to put together platforms for streaming to reach the younger audience. There is no more cinemas in Cameroon. I think there is one cinema or two, but they are not regular cinema. They are just screening halls put by a French group. So the only stage to show the students is to really try to show them through television or through internet. But the televisions, most of the time, are state-run television, who don't really care much about cinema. They can, if they allocate a spot at one point to an African or local film, for them it's already such a big deal. And so if culture and if cinema doesn't become a priority so that they can say, okay, every week we're going to have almost every day an African film, we are not going to be able to really touch and reach the audience seriously, because if there is not a political will to have that, and the relationship between cinema and the state has always been a very contentious, because in the beginning, in the 70s and 60s, where after the independencies, the politician invited filmmakers to really come and help them really see how to bring knowledge to the people. But because the filmmakers were too critical of what was happening, suddenly the politicians started pushing them aside, saying, oh, we are also doing some good things. So if you're the only thing that you are seeing are just negative things, what is the point? So the relationship started becoming contentious, and the censorship went on, and gradually cinema and filmmakers were put on the side. And yet we needed cinema, we needed images to not only for education, but also for the entertainment. But because these were pushed on the side, they were just being bombarded by images coming from outside. Mm-hmm. And of course, for the politicians, when images from outside are good for them, because it doesn't bring people to think about what is happening around them.
Sure.
And yeah, all the work I'm doing is, we have managed to create a generation of Africans who live in their own countries as if they were tourists. They are not really grabbing the issues, things that are happening, to try to transform the society, to make changes, except when they want to make that change, to make money. That's when you see very brilliant entrepreneur work, when they see a niche to make money. But when it's just transforming society and really make things better, well,
it's not interesting.
It's not interesting. So the foreign films and the foreign images have been used to really disconnect the local people from their own problems, from their own questions, so that the exploitation and the pillaging of the whole continent could continue, and we'll just be the spectator of that, actually.
There's another question.
Do you think that social media could make a change with that issue? Or is it getting worse with social media?
Well, social media could do a lot, but the thing is, social media, people go on social media to have followers. And to have followers, they just go into a certain kind of images and certain kind of representation. It's going to be a cheesy comedy. They're going to be these short stories that always tell the same old bad jokes. You have misogyny stories. You have everything that people just don't push people to think, but it's just to have followers. How many followers are there? And so then they can make money. But of course, social media can be put to use for that. That you also need for people to really have the will to do that. Because we are starting a platform to show films, and most of the platform, because people don't even have so much means, it has to be almost free, actually, so that people can watch. Because if you start asking people, and yet we need to ask people to contribute in a way, because not everything that comes for people for free, they don't really value it. So it's a big dilemma to find a way to the right balance between what you can do to offer people and how they can contribute into participating to the transformation of the society.
Are there any more questions? Ja, da ist noch eine.
Ich möchte gerne auf Deutsch reden, wenn Sie das übersetzen könnten.
Klar.
Genau. Ich habe keine Frage. Ich möchte nur sagen, ich bin Ihnen sehr, sehr, sehr dankbar für diesen Film. Ich bin vollkommen schockiert. Nochmal, es gibt Dinge, die weiß ich schon lange über Kolonialismus, über alles. Aber Ihr Film hat das nochmal auf eine Art und Weise gezeigt, die nochmal ganz anders an mich rangekommen ist. Das möchte ich einfach noch sagen, damit das nicht so untergeht. Ich weiß nicht, wem es noch so geht. Ich bin entsetzt einmal mehr über das, was einfach weiße, schwarzen Menschen angetan haben und weiterhin antun. Also,
einmal kurz.
Ach so,
just translating, it's more of a comment than a question. And this lady over there, she just want to say a big thank you to you for this very important film. She was very impressed by it and also shocked. And she has seen films or knows about colonialism and what had happened. And but this was now once again, an eye opener again, and what white people were doing to black people in the past and still are doing. So she's very moved.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Things have changed, are not changing as fast as possible, because the new strategy now is to take a few young black people who look good, who are beautiful, and celebrate them, and then leave the rest of the people in the same kind of place. And racism is not moving, especially in Europe. It's really, and in the US also, it's just terrible, because we haven't deconstructed the whole mental colonialism that is still so present in the minds of so many people, and that a long battle. Thank you for the comment, anyway.
Yes, I think you're welcome. Yeah, maybe one last question from the audience. We shortly have to come to an end, or I can put it. Okay. On the one side, things are changing. On the other side, you are saying there's still so much to be done. So what do you wish for the future and for documentary filmmaking in Africa? Maybe you can tell us a bit what your projects are and what your plans are for the future and what you wish
for the future.
To more deconstruct this these problems about racism and colonialism and so forth. So there's still so much to do.
Yes, actually, in 2015, when I started in Cameroon the training program, Patrimoine Heritage, and I've been training young people to make documentary and to make documentary on the issue of the heritage, whether it's material or immaterial. And doing this work, I realized that the work cannot just be doing it like that, going from one place to the other. And gradually I realized that even when people are calling me to say, where can we see your films? Why? Such a shock to always have to go to Europe or to go to many places to find images, to find my work. So I just felt it was important to have my films and to have the film that we do in one place. And that's why I started the project, the Lalom. This is going to be like the forge in the village, where all the films will be stored. That will also be a library, so that the young generation, the young people will come and emerge and learn about films from other filmmakers. Because one of the big problems is that people don't see films. They don't have them. And people say, oh, but on internet you can see films. But internet doesn't work properly, so that you cannot be doing the streaming all the time. And they have been trying to make a streaming platform, and it's such a nightmare to show films. So maybe we'll go back to have a place where films can be shown, and even take films to schools, because we haven't even been thinking of having a TV in many schools. In Cameroon, we have schools. When you just mentioned the fact that we can have a TV to show images, people just say, "What? A TV in school?" It's almost like we are in a place where people are not living with their own time. And so the Lalong will be the center at the base where we are going to just irradiate in the population, show films there, train young people. And why not be a beginning of something, a cultural space? And I'm trying to raise funds for that.
Yeah. So Jean-Marie Thénault is building this house of documentary film, and I think it's a very important task to educate young people about film, about documentary film, about the history of film. And we wish you good luck, and you can have the Google his project on the internet and maybe support if you want. And so you're not making films anymore, you're making a house of documentary film. Is that right? Or you still have projects?
Of course, I still have projects. There are so many projects, because I wanted to have this parenthesis, because to be making films just on my own is interesting, but to have more people making films and give them opportunities that I didn't have is important. And of course, I have my own project, and by the end of this year, I wouldn't say by the end of the film will be, but at least a project will be really formulated, and it's going to be the continuation of thinking about the world, because this world needs to be repaired. And I'm working in a way to contribute to that through films.
Okay, so maybe we can invite you in the future again to DocFest.
Absolutely. And actually, now we don't even have to move to travel to DocFest. We can continue to have exchanges from the village and from...
We just have to make time and get internet. So that's very good. Jean-Marie, thank you again for making time for us in your transit. And thanks also to the audience to come along tonight. We wish you safe travels. And
thank you, Dr. Minchen, for giving me this opportunity to talk to the audience and to show the film again. This is a film that was so dear to me. It was something like a gesture that I made 30 years ago. And I didn't even expect that people would be seeing this film again 30 years later, but who knows?
It's a monument now. It's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
All the best to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
You.
Maybe a round of applause.
Bye. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.